God's word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and prepare our hearts for the receiving of God's word. Let's pray. Father, we pray now that not only will you open our ears, but you will open our hearts, that your word might soak in. And Father, we also pray that we will leave this to be and more of what we ought to be. And that is our prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to read with me from Matthew 25, and I'm going to read verses 14 on through verses 26, 27. And I'm going to kind of skip around a little bit since it's a long passage, but I want you to get the heart of the story that Jesus is telling in this parable. So this is Jesus' parable. A man about to go on a journey who called his own servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gave 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of these slaves came and settled accounts with them, and the one who had received the 5 came up, brought 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. Master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, "Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. And his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one who had received said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." But the master answered and said to him, "You wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. To have at least put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. May we be blessed by the reading of God's word, and I'm sure that's the joyful text you came to church to hear today. Doesn't that just light up your day? Wow, what in the world is this story all? I got a phone call from my dad on a Thursday evening. Dad's active in a Sunday school class, and they don't have enough time to really do the Bible study they'd like to do. So they formed a group that meets during the week on Thursdays, and they call the group Digging Deeper, and they like to take a text or a pericope of Scripture, and they like to dig deep into it and to study that particular text. So on Thursday night, and it's my dad, and he's saying, "Son, we met today, and we were studying the parable of the talents, and we don't get it." I said, "What don't you get?" He said, "Well, this is so out of character, the story that Jesus told. It's totally out of character for him. I mean, normally he takes the underdog, the least likely, the ordinary, the one that's invisible or unseen, not noticed. Generally, he takes those and he lifts them up and he makes them the hero of the story. I mean, you've got offering and she put a couple coins in an offering horn and she becomes the hero of the story. You've got a good Samaritan. Jews hated the Samaritans, and yet Jesus made a Samaritan the hero of the story, the model that everyone was supposed to follow. You've got the prodigal son. I mean, who takes a prodigal son who takes and wastes the family's resources and makes them the positive in the story, much less a woman caught in the act of adultery? He took her and shamed all of the others who were about ready to throw stones. Jesus always took the least, the ordinary, the likely and lifted them up and made them the hero. But John, in this story, Jesus takes and he makes him the villain and has his harshest judgment for this one. We don't get that. And we know that Jesus is doing this on purpose. And we're missing this purpose. Can you help us understand this better? I said, well, Dad, you know, really, right. Jesus takes a story form very familiar to all of us. A story form, you know, the story form. Once upon a time, there was a master who had three servants, and to one he gave a big bag of money, to the second he gave a middle bag of money, and to the third he gave a small bag of money. That's the same story form as once upon a time there were three brothers, or once upon a time there were three sisters, or once upon a time there were three little pigs. It's a story form, but what Jesus has done in this story is he takes that form and he flips it upside down. Where instead of the last getting it right, the last in this story gets it wrong. And my dad said, exactly. That's precisely the point. Why is he doing that? I said, well, Dad, who is he talking to? Go back to 24. When he tells this poor parable, it's in a string of parables that he's telling his disciples. And if you'll go back in 24, you'll discover he's in a closed session with those disciples. No one else is there. It's Jesus and his disciples. And he tells this parable to them in closed session. Well, let's pause for a little station. Right now, Jesus is in closed session with you. He's telling you this parable. There's something in this parable he needs and wants for you to hear. So what's the point, my dad says? What was he trying to do? I said, well, because Jesus knew, just like he knows you and me, he knows which one of these three servants they are going to most identify with. And he knows which of those three servants you and I are most likely going to identify with. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you which one I identify with. I identify with the third one. I'll tell you why. I don't see myself as a... I'm not a Mozart. I'm not Churchill. I'm not a LeBron James or a Patrick Holmes. I'm not a five-talent guy that's going to make some great effect in some great way in the world. Be honest with you, I don't even see myself as a two-talent guy. I'm not going to come up with some economic plan that's going to save the economy somewhere in the world. I'm not going to come up with some cure or some kind of disease that's tormenting people's lives. I'm not going to come up with those. I don't see myself as a five-talent or a two-talent person. I see myself as that third guy, just an ordinary guy trying to live as good a life as I know how to live, doing what I can do in this world. I'm going to be doing that. And Jesus knows exactly what we're identifying with this third servant. We're going to convince ourselves that we're ordinary folk and we're not going to make a big difference in this world. And Jesus is saying, in close session, you got it wrong. My kingdom's counting on normal people, ordinary people, people living your lives every day. My kingdom is counting on going to be what will make all the difference in my world. And you are convincing yourself that you will make little difference when I know the impact you can make. And the story goes on. It's a story about three servants who own nothing. They don't have a dime to their name. Master who seems to have everything. And this master just wildly gives. This master wildly plays. This master is just distributing freely and having such a good time doing it. And the master, what he's distributing is money. And that's at the core of the story. And we have to ask, what is this? If you'll notice in 20 of 26 parables that Jesus tells, money's at the core of each one of those parables. Why is that? Because in Jesus' mind, money functions as a parable of our lives. What we do or what we don't do with it is a parable of our lives. And Jesus tells a story in the currency of the day, talents. Now, do you know what one talent is equal to in U.S. dollars? This is not a small amount of money. We're talking about a massive, one talent in U.S. dollars equals 500,000 U.S. dollars. Can you imagine being that first servant? You don't have a nickel to your name. And the servant comes in and gives you five talents. By the way, that's $2.5 million. Would you call that a good day? I would call that a pretty good day. The other, second one, he gives him a cool $1 million. To the third, he gives $500,000. Time to pause. Jesus, why do you tell this story with such extravagance? Why significantly generous? Why these excessive amounts of money? Why is that necessary in this story? And Jesus is going to say to you, I've given you a bag. I've given you one. Look in your bag. See what I've given you. Know what you will pull out of that bag first? Your life. You didn't buy that. You didn't earn that. Matter of fact, you don't even deserve that. I gave that to you. It's my gift to you. Reach in that bag. You know what you will pull out of that bag? You will pull out of that bag time. Precious time. Time with which to live that life I gave you. Time. You don't deserve each and every day. You didn't earn it. You can't buy it. That's my gift. I give you every single day you wake up. That's my gift to you. Reach in that bag and pull out of that bag. What you will find are people who love you. To you, yes, for the rest of my life, yes, I want to be with you. And the children that have come into your life, you didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. You can't buy it. That was my gift to you. Reach in your bag. You'll pull out a church that you get to love, sacrifice for, serve in, be on God's mission with. You didn't buy that. You didn't earn it. It's a gift. Reach in the bag. You'll find purpose. Keep reaching. For an ordinary person, you sure are richly blessed. That's why I told the story this way. Where he goes on. The master comes back. The first one doubled the investment. I'm sure the third one said, you can't spend that money. That's the master's money. Oh, no, I'm going to invest it. And doubled. The second one did the same. You can't spend that money. Oh, I'm going to start a business with this and double the investment. You can't do that one, said the third one. This is the master. We got to bury this. We got to keep it safe. And the master comes back And to the first two who've doubled what he gave them, he said to them, well done, good and faithful servants, in that you've been faithful in this, I'll put you in charge of so much more. Enter now into the joy of your master. Now, I feel sorry for the third one about this point. I don't know about you, this brings back childhood memories of being in school. When I took a test only to hear the teacher talk, I got the wrong answer. I even get knots in my stomach for the third one when I think about this story. He really messed this one up, poor dude. But he does what we always do. He blames. I knew you to be a cruel master. I knew you would harvest, you would reap where you didn't sow. So I leave, and I'm giving it back to you. And the master says, no, take it from him and give it to the first. Do notice in this story, the master never takes the money. All he does is just keeps distributing it. He's not interested in that. The Lord is issuing a warning to you and me. It's real easy to see our ordinary lives. And given what life brings our way, all the disruptions, all the disappointments, all the things that life can bring our way, it's real easy to forget that underneath all of that, life is a sheer gift. It is a miraculous gift that you get to invest back into this world. That you get to, did not give us this just to be safe with it. He gave it to risk back into the world that he died for and loved. And here's the second thing. When we bury what we've been given and we hide it, we rob the world of God's love and God's grace and God's mercy. Jesus says, I can't stand that. I gave it to you to not hide, but put back in the world. I saw a church that wrestled with this, given what it was given and what to do with it. I couldn't wait to go to this church. I was president of the Baptist World Alliance at the time, and they invited me to come and speak in service. I was pretty intrigued. I couldn't wait to go see the story behind the hour of that worship service. So I went to the church and discovered that it was a church that had been downtown Belfast, Ireland, and all the community around it had moved out to the suburbs, leaving that church pretty much barren in the middle of the downtown area with only a handful of folk committed to keeping that church going. And they were struggling, but what came in around the church when everybody moved out were bar nights and Saturday nights. It was just wild city around the church, and the church property became, during the weekend now, nothing but a trash dump where people threw their plastic cups and threw their bowls and their wrappers. The lawn was just littered. The city did not build enough restrooms for the volume of young people coming down into that part of the town. So people were even using the church property for public restrooms during the weekend before the church cleaned up the property. So the deacons met at the church to decide what they were going to do. And they hired an architect, and they came up with a wall around the church that architecturally was complementary to the church itself. And they were excited that we were going to present that to the church. So they went to the church business meeting, and they said, we've got this architectural plan. This wall will look nice around our church, and it will protect our property. And we're recommending that they're ready to vote on that plan. When the oldest member of the church in the back of the room raised his hands, wouldn't you know his name is Sean. And Sean raised his hand. Sean, you have something you want to say? Sure do. Well, what is it you want to say? Seems to me we don't need no wall. What we need are more restrooms. Why aren't we? All those young people need them. Well, Sean, who's going to clean that restroom on Saturday morning, 2:00 in the morning? Who's going to clean all that? And Sean said, well, you know, I've not been sleeping well these days. I'll take a 2:00 shift. Another woman in the meeting raised her hand and she said, you know, I've not been sleeping well either, Sean. I'll take the 3 o'clock shift. And before that meeting was over, they had filled up the whole cleaning roster for the restrooms. And they built them. The time that worship service was that I was invited to speak at, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning. And over 300 young people were gathered in that service. I talked to one of the young ladies. I said, why are you here? I thought you'd come down for the bars and all. She said, well, I did. But I'm standing in line for the restroom. Wasn't it nice of that church to do that? Sean, I think, came up and talked to me and told me that wanted to know my story. And I told him that my mother was dying of stage 4 cancer. And this church not only visited her, they cared for her, and they loved on her, and I want to be with people like that. When we invest as ordinary people, lives are changed. I rewrote the end of this story because I needed to know if I was getting this story right. And this is how I rewrote the end of the story. This is Upton version. The two doubled their investment and then returned that to the master. The story where he hid it. In my story, I had him invest that $500,000 in starting a halfway house for those addicted to opioids. Doesn't take long for $500,000 to disappear. And the mission failed. But not only did the mission fail in my story, he lost all the money. Said to the two others what a good job they did. He had to go up to the master and had to say, I am so sorry. I invested what you gave me and I lost it all. I do not have one penny to give back to you. I am so sorry. Do you know what I think the master would say to him? Good and faithful servant. In that you were faithful in this, I'm going to put you in charge of so much more. Enter now into the joy of your master. It's not about success or failure. It's about taking the faithful risk for the kingdom. My prayer for Mountain Brook Baptist Church is simply this, that one day you will hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servants, and that you have been faithful in what I have given you. I'm going to put you in charge of so much more. Enter now into the joy of your master. Let us pray. Father, it's so easy to see ourselves as having less than everyone else and just hiding what we have or being so such with it that we want to keep it secure and hidden and safe that we don't put it back into your kingdom. Our talent, our time, our abilities, our love for you, our resources. Lord, forgive us. My prayer is you will one day say to us, enter into the joy of your master. And I pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.